You will agree, I'm sure, that many thousands of people lack the basic necessities, and many hundreds of thousands lack ordinary comforts.
Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons, sir.
And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?
Yes, they are. I only wish I could say they were not.
I support those institutions I have mentioned, and I expect the poor to make use of them. Those who are badly off must go there.
Many cannot go there, and many would rather die.
They'd rather die. They'd better do it and decrease the surplus population.
That's why they put them in jail, and the kids that they go in shelters, and the way they take care of them, it's, you know, they even said, the kids, they say, wow, I will have my own bed. I will sleep on the bed. I will have a cabinet for my clothes. It's so sad to hear it, but they didn't have that in their own countries.
Right.
They sleep on the floor. They are, you know, they're fed. They are taking care nicely there. But, you know, yeah, they are not with the parents. It's sad. But, you know, you need to do something.
I'm working like a ass, my ass.
I know.
The Christmas stuff that, you know, who gives a f*** about the Christmas stuff and decoration, but I need to do it, right? And then I do it, and I say that I'm working on Christmas, planning for the Christmas. And they said, oh, what about the children? They were separated. Give me a break.
Bah, humbug. Welcome to Speak All Evil, the podcast you were warned about. I'm Trent, here with Kevin and Kat. How's it going, guys?
Hi.
Hello.
The Christmas magic is alive.
It sure is. Dave is on Christmas holiday this week. Mm-hmm. Kat, how was your vacation?
Oh, it was so good. I watched a lot of Great British Bake Off, a lot of Disney movies.
Nice.
Nothing that would ever stress me out as much as the movies you guys watched. So, very nice.
It was like a cleanse? You used that as like a cleanse?
Yeah, it was like a nice, you know, like winter solstice cleanse. Took some baths. You know, I had my crystals going. So, I feel very relaxed, very rejuvenated for this,
ready to get back at
this special week. Yes, absolutely.
Good. Well, this week, it's the holidays. It is the fourth quarter. It is the final stretch of the year of our Lord 2020. And Speak All Evil has finished all the heavy lifting we're going to do this year. For the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about holiday horror movies and try to have some fun. We have a very special guest with us today, Maeve Yannis of the Cliché Killer blog. Hello, Maeve. How's it going?
Hi.
Glad you could join us. How are you?
Good. I'm glad I could be here.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Tell us a little bit about the Cliché Killer blog.
So the Cliché Killer blog is all about horror clichés. So when watching a movie, I'm that person who will point out every cliché or every like not realistic thing in a movie. And so it was just a matter of time before I started like writing about them and sharing them. Mm-hmm. And so the blog is I usually pick a movie and write about the cliches in it. But my first ever article was about all of the most common cliches. And I'm actually going to be branching off into a podcast soon.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah.
Doing your own.
Competition.
Well, I know you've been, you said you listened to a couple of ours, so don't start ripping us off. That's the only thing I ask.
I won't.
How did you get into horror movies?
I grew up with a horror-loving dad, and I was that kid who would sit and watch movies like Coraline and Paranorman over and over again, and then my bedtime stories were actually like ghost stories. So,
oh, nice.
Wow, nice. Awesome.
Wow.
Where can people find the Cliché Killer blog?
You can find it at www.theclichékiller.com, or you can find it on Instagram at The Cliché Killer Productions.
So as I was just saying, we're talking about holiday horror movies this week, mostly Christmas, I guess. I don't know. I'm sure there's other holiday horror movies, but not that I'm really aware of. I don't know if you're a Christmas person, if you like Christmas at all.
Yeah, I do.
I'm a big fan. Kat, you're a Christmas gal, right?
I really am.
Yeah, just, me too.
You know, I add a little spookiness in there, like a little spooky Christmas, which is why this is like right up my alley. It's my jam.
Kevin, you're a Christmas guy, right?
I mean, not really. I think more for Nora. I think more. I'm more Christmas inspired by like Clark Griswold, where I want to have the most lights on the house, for like personal bragging rights. I get incredibly depressed when Halloween comes and goes so fast every year.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'm not like the Grinch or anything, but my house looks like Christmas threw up on it inside and out, and I'm totally fine with that. But I don't like walk around humming Christmas tunes and stuff. You know,
sad. Sad.
I mean, it's not bad. I'm just not going to lie. I'm not going to pretend I have all this extra Christmas cheer that doesn't exist inside of me.
Yeah, I try to bring it out with everyone in the household, and everyone in the household hates it, but I'm putting that tree up. And I brought out my my tablecloths today, my table runners, my festive table runners.
Wow,
so it's
nice.
Begun. Well, I was like getting ready to watch, you know, some spooky Christmas movies, so I was like, I need a little bit of festive cheer in here before I can start this. So
nice. Well, one of the movies we watched was Better Watch Out from 2016. Maeve, I understand this is one of your favorite Christmas movies, or Christmas horror movies anyway.
It's my favorite Christmas movie, actually.
Mm-hmm. Number one.
Yes, number one.
Wow.
Woo!
How did you, when was the first time you saw Better Watch Out?
Right in March, I was just trying to find movies to watch, and I had just downloaded Tubi, and this just seemed really interesting. So that's how I, like, that was the first time I watched it.
This movie is odd in that I'm really surprised it didn't get a wider release, and then you can find it streaming like everywhere. I'm pretty sure it's on Prime. I think that's where I watched it. I mean, if you look this up on justwatch.com, it like came and went in terms of release, and then instantly was just like thrown to the streaming wolves. So I don't think that there is any time of year that you couldn't find this to watch for free.
Maeve, maybe usually somebody tells us like what the movie is about, you know, gives us like a little synopsis. So this being your favorite Christmas movie, maybe you would like to tell us what this is about.
Okay. So Better Watch Out is about a girl who's about to go off to college, and she goes to babysit this kid she's been babysitting for a while. It's like she's known him since he's 8, I think. And I don't want to spoil anything. I don't know how much I should be saying.
Well, you know, that's something that we talk about. And, you know, sometimes it's hard because, like, this movie, for example, there is kind of a twist in the middle. So what I try to do, I mean, nobody's going to fire us, so it's not the end of the world. What I usually try to do is think about, like, how can I talk about the things that I'm really actually trying to say without actually saying the specific thing that happens, because I want someone who hasn't seen this to watch it on my recommendation to get interested in it, and I don't want to reveal to them the, like, the one thing that, like, if I even allude to it, they're going to know. You know what I mean? Because we've all seen a million movies. And when you say, like, oh, when the thing happens, then they know that there's a thing that happens. So you go right ahead and tell us what your version of what this movie is about. And don't worry too much about that, but maybe just keep it in mind if you can.
Okay. So, like, when I think of Better Watch Out, like, I think of, like, the kid Luke, like the boy Luke, is just, he just wants his he wants to date his babysitter so bad that he like literally goes to like to do anything to do this, and I don't even know how he gets his friend Garrett involved. Like, his friend Garrett's just like, okay, I'll do it, but and they pull a bunch of different they have a plan, and they pull a bunch of different, it's almost like a prank. Begins as a prank to get this girl to, it's like to sleep with him, right?
Smooch him.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And he just goes to, like, the end of the earth to do this, and he thinks of, like, the most creative plan to do this, and then some things end going wrong in some places, but, yeah, that's what I think of when I think of the movie.
What connects you to the movie? What is it that makes it your favorite?
I just think because when I am watching a movie, I'm looking for the cliches. I feel like this movie has some of like the obvious cliches, but then also goes against some of the horror tropes. So that's mm-hmm. why I really enjoy it.
Do you want to run down through a couple, few cliches that you find in this? What would be the most cliche thing about this movie, do you think?
I noticed it because when they're watching the movie right at the beginning, she's yelling at the TV for them not to go in the attic. And then mm-hmm. she proceeds to take Luke to go hide in the attic. And I find that just, hiding in the attic is just That's so stupid. Like, you could just run out the front door.
Kat, had you seen this one before?
I had never seen this one before.
Wow.
And I was going into it thinking it was going to be a Home Alone situation where I was going to watch some like nerdy kids beat up some home invaders. I was surprised by the film, if we're keeping it spoiler free. I was also I think I was just so stressed out this whole movie. I don't know the last time I was this stressed out watching a movie in general, to be honest, because I wasn't here last week, so that's probably why. But that Luke, he's probably my least favorite person I've ever seen ever. On any film, I was just so annoyed by him. I was less scared by the situation and more angry that I was just watching everything unfold the way that he wanted it to, for the most part. But I liked the way that it concluded. And that was nice.
Spoiler-free zone. Great end scene, for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
It was a happy ending in your eyes.
Absolutely. I was very angry up until that, and I was like, okay, deal.
Kevin, you knew this one, right?
What's that?
You knew this one. You had seen this before, right?
Oh, yeah. This is probably my third or fourth time watching this. This is a fun one to pull out.
Wow.
This time of year. I mean, it came out in 2016. This is directed by Chris Peckover. Not sure that he's ever done anything else. But one of the things I loved, and we might have talked about this when we did the episode where Dave picked The Visit. So Olivia de Jong plays Ashley, the babysitter that Maeve was talking about. Ed Oxenbould plays Garrett, who is the boy's friend. And they're the two kids from The Visit, both Australian actors. And then you have Levi Miller plays Luke. But the one thing I'm the most thankful for, and I know that we're past Thanksgiving, but I'm so thankful that Ed Oxenbould doesn't rap in this movie.
I think we can all be thankful for that.
Yeah, you and me both. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But talking about really great performances, Levi Miller's performance as Luke is awesome. This is going to be totally unrelated. It reminded me of the woman that played Dolores Umbridge in the Harry Potter movies.
Ooh.
Because when you talk about like perfect casting for a character that you are supposed to despise, holy cow. Levi Miller, good job. I didn't look up if he's been in anything else, but yeah, I mean, this really is a movie with three characters and then traditional horror tropes. You know, they throw in, you know, a few randos, and you know what those randos are there for. They're not there to add to the plot. I think, you know, I don't think this movie is terribly scary, but I think it's very creative. And I liked it. I liked the pacing. You know, it fell a little flat on the comedy element sometimes. Like the movie didn't know if it wanted to be more suspenseful or more funny at one part. So it would just kind of, we'll just ride the line. And then it blows my mind that it opens up and the parents of the boy who's being babysat, Luke, are friggin' Patrick Warburton and Virginia Madsen.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, how'd they pull off this cast? How'd they get these people in the movie? Oh, it's because they're only in the movie for 60 seconds and they only had to pay him like a spaghetti dinner and like $100.
That was the biggest bummer to me, is we didn't see more of them.
Yeah, you didn't. I mean, I'm like, wait, I get a movie, a horror movie with the Tick / Putty from Seinfeld and the mom is from Candyman? Like, this is going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this for the first time last December, so it's been the one-year anniversary for me. Last December, I was trying to watch all the Christmas horror movies I could, and there were way more than I even ever realized. So, but this was one that I hadn't seen, and my take on this movie is that it's a toxic masculinity Christmas. The whole entire thing is like, you know, you start off, you think like, oh, it's going to be a typical home invasion thriller type thing. And I think it's somewhat scary. I think it's suspenseful, at least, for most of the movie. The whole movie, to me, is suspenseful. The first half, I think, is a little bit scary. But, you know, you're not really ready for, like, how toxic this movie actually is. To me, I wasn't ready for it until it was over, and I was like, geez. The child being sat in question, as we discussed, he's in love with his babysitter. And at first it seems like kind of cute, like, oh, you know, he's in love with a babysitter. Oh, I wouldn't know anything about that. and it gives you like a sort of a little window into the delusional male mind, because on the surface, the idea is so ridiculous that, you know, that he thinks that the babysitter might be interested in him. Obviously, it's laughable. But to him, you know, it's like, maybe he has a chance. And any little thing that she does, he takes as a sign that, he's getting somewhere. You know, she's fighting with her boyfriend and he's like, oh, boy, you know, see, she's falling out with the boyfriend. This is my chance. You know, she like grabs his hand during the scary movie. So to me, that's very typical delusional male thinking that, you know, taking all these things as cues when in reality, it's the most absurd thing imaginable.
Yeah, he definitely took being friend zoned to a different level.
Isn't being friend zoned a toxic concept to begin with?
Oh, it sure is. But that's I'm adding to the I'm continuously adding.
That would be
to
in
the
his. In the world of this like delusional toxic male world, right? He's being friend zoned. He's trying to get out of it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely noticed. I think they were trying to make a play on like normal hormones versus like sociopathic tendencies. Because you have like the horny boyfriend Ricky, you know, having these normal teenage things. And then you have Luke coming in like a 12-year-old guy from American Psycho. Oh. Like, I got super American Psycho Christian Bale vibes out of this kid's performance. And whether he did it himself or he was directed to, somebody sat him in front of that movie and said, watch Christian Bale for the next 12 hours straight, and then I'll meet you on set in the morning. I do have to ding them for a few things, however. I love the Home Alone deal. That was great. I believe that they were debating it at the beginning of the movie, if I'm not mistaken. And then Luke goes ahead and does it. Mm-hmm. However, having just watched Scanners and talked about it, they do call out a major head explosion, and they don't show it.
True.
So minus points there.
Yeah, I was waiting for that reveal, that slow pan over, and it never happened. Did I really want to see it? In my heart, my heart wanted to, but my brain probably didn't want to see it.
There's also a horror trope that is overdone in this movie, and that is how many times can one escape from captivity only to end up back in captivity?
I kind of thought the head explosion scene, to me, I think of it as the ketchup and mustard scene, because you don't see the head explosion, but you do see, obviously, a bunch of ketchup and mustard running down the leg. I thought that could have had a little more to offer there. Maeve, why don't you give us a few more cliches as we go along here, as we tell the story? Are there any babysitting cliches that jump out to you, or what did you have?
Well, like the having your crush on your babysitter cliche is obviously there. And then, like, right at the beginning when we meet the dad, it's, like, the dad who just seems a little too interested in, like, the main female character's personal life. So, like...
Oh, yeah. That was definitely a weird part when he was like, oh, you look great, when she, like, comes in. I was like,
yeah,
oh, Patrick, what are you doing?
Patrick Forward. Did anybody get a kick out of the joint smoke coming out of a hole in someone's face?
I hadn't seen that before. That was a new one.
Yeah.
So what happens here is that this sort of what seems like an almost a romantic foible Christmas Home Alone comedy turns into a home invasion, and things spiral quickly out of control after that. I did like when the champagne was popped. I thought that was really funny. Like, the kid thinks that him and the babysitter, they're going to drink some champagne, maybe, you know? Merry Christmas.
I also like the oxy angle, the fact that his buddy Garrett's just, like, popping oxys, and I thought it was, you know, an interesting view into, like, the suburban opioids epidemic.
Yeah, I don't know. These kids were, I guess, way cooler than I was, because at their age, I was just, like, I was alone in my room, like, playing my Game Boy. I wasn't popping champagne or taking oxys or anything, so I don't really know.
Not a traditional Christmas message horror movie. Usually, with these movies, you get the traditional stuff, like, oh, you should have been more thankful about Christmas, and you should have been nicer to people, you should have not taken your family and friends for granted. This does none of that whatsoever. This is kind of mean, in my opinion, for a Christmas movie.
Yeah, I didn't feel any Christmas magic at all during this movie. not what I want in my Christmas magic movies, for sure. But
am I wrong in like, you know, when I saw this movie, I had never heard of it. I think maybe I'd stumbled across a trailer probably around Christmas time, looking up Christmas horror movies or something a few years ago. Am I wrong after like seeing this movie that I'm shocked it didn't get a wider release? I'm shocked that it wasn't better publicized and didn't have, you know, any legs at all commercially.
Yeah, I feel like it had like a definite like very funny games vibe to it with that main character. So I feel like it would have done well with all the weirder horror fans that
I feel like it's a little ugly for wide Maeve, you have our tastes. You like the dark the dark stuff apparently, because I feel like this one would never become any kind of like, hey everybody, watch that watch that better off gather. Yeah, it's not really there's a little bit more of that in the next movie that we were going to talk about called Krampus from 2015, which I also had not seen until last year. It seems like it's been around for longer than that. I thought Krampus was like at least 10 years old. Stars Adam Scott and Toni Collette, which I had no idea. This is directed by Michael Dougherty. Maeve, had you seen Krampus before, I assume?
No, I hadn't. I just watched it with my mom's boyfriend, so it was a very like interesting experience.
Well, just for this week's show?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. You're truly an honorary cast member.
I want to hear what you thought of Krampus.
I thought it was like a solid movie. It's like not necessarily going to go on one of those movies I'd rewatch, but I enjoyed it like in the moment. I found that some parts of the movie were just a little too chaotic to like know what was happening. That you were like, oh wait, there's another, like, what is, like, I just didn't know what was happening at some parts. But this movie wasn't as cliche as most movies. There's a couple thrown in there.
Give us your cliches on this one. There's really no. There's no spoiler in this. It's about Krampus, the folklore legend, and it's kind of self-explanatory. So I'd be interested in what cliches you picked up in this one.
The one cliche that, like, the main one is, like, the chaotic family that ends up, like, being brought together through a traumatic experience.
Yes, yes, big one. Yep.
And then, like, the dad and son heart to heart, like, right before, like, one of them's gonna die. Like, during, yeah. There's so many cliches that only come up when there's a traumatic event happening. And then, the parents just, like, give up and just die in front of their kids. Which I just find to be like, okay, like, and then trying to talk to like the villain or the killer to get them out of what they're doing. I was like, you're really trying to talk to Krampus right now to like kind of like, oh, just like sure, take like sure. give my family like
have mercy on me.
Yeah,
yeah. I love Christmas. It's fine. Take them.
Yeah, this to me is a much more traditional Christmas type message that, you know, like I was just talking about. And I loved this one. I'm a big fan of Krampus. I enjoyed it just as much this time, but definitely I would say this is the more cliche ridden of the two by far. This is like, it's like National Lampoon's Christmas, except with with a Krampus. That's what this is.
Yeah. Which I love.
Kat, had you seen this one before?
I have. I love this movie, you guys. Mm. I was trying to keep it under wraps, but this is like, this is the spooky Christmas magic that I'm talking about. Like, you know, there's the Krampus. It's such a terrifying entity just from like history. And I think they do a really great job of portraying, of depicting it. The mask is a little funny, but you know, like the, I guess, CGI of him, like, you know, jumping from building to building and with the sack, it's very spooky. I would be terrified if he showed up. It's campy enough to be like a fun Christmas time watch with those not as enthused about horror as maybe we would be.
Yep.
So I could kind of put it on and be like, gather around everyone. It's Krampus time. And all the little Christmas creatures are probably the scariest part. Any toy that comes to life, I'm immediately terrified of. Like any Chucky situation, I'm looking away from the screen kind of a situation. And then the end is, you know, it's the Christmas magic, family is important, kind of wraps it up. So I just really love this movie. I was excited that someone besides me picked it. So we could revel in it, and that's what I have to say about that.
Wow! So I'm shocked. I'm a little surprised here because I threw Krampus in here because I was expecting to get eviscerated. Because
really,
yes, I'm actually surprised. I'm shocked. So I watch Krampus every year, and I'm glad that you said Krampus, Trent, because, you know, Dave's always making fun of me for like mispronouncing words. I probably would have been like, it's Krampus. and to like back Dave up, like we were hanging out recently and talking about all the words I pronounce wrong on the show. Mm. And he was like, well, but the thing is you give them like too much respect. You make them fit. You're like Matthew Lillard. You know, he's like, you're finding ways to pretty up words.
I think that was me. I was the Lillard. And then you guys, I think all of you guys would be like,
I've always said Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, no, I thought it was Lillard.
It's Lillard. It's Lillard.
Well, and so in Maeve's instance here, Maeve Yannis, she had sent me a file and pronounced her name. And so just to back up Dave's theory of my brain pronouncing words, if she hadn't done that, I would have probably said, and now I'd like to introduce our guest, Maeve Yannis. Anyway, I put this movie in here because I thought I was going to get eviscerated and we'd have a chance to talk about how close Krampus is to an absolute classic and how it just misses the mark. I do watch it every year, and I think it's because I'm just hoping that it's that one watch where I'm like, yes, they nailed it. They didn't nail it, guys. Oh, it should have been rated R.
No.
Okay? This is from Michael Dougherty, who brought us... No. Michael Dougherty brought us one of the greatest anthologies ever in Trick or Treat. Probably my favorite Halloween anthology. And then he comes to us with this. Here's the problem with Hollywood. They wouldn't greenlight this movie and its $15 million budget unless he guaranteed it was PG-13. God damn it.
I think it was fine.
I love
it. As a PG-13. Would I have loved it more as an R rating? Absolutely. But for what they, for working with a, because I'm the same way. I see a PG-13, I'm like, is it going to be? I don't know. But it was still spooky. It still had the, oh, Omi. Let's talk about Omi. She was the badass of this whole situation. She was the OG Krampus fighter. Not fighter.
Survivor.
Survivor, yes.
You mean, are you talking about Krista Stadler, who for the last 4 years that I've been watching this movie, I thought was Sissy Spacek? Literally
yes,
every time. Well, so here's one of the reasons that my expectations were so high for this movie and why I don't quite think it gets a pass. Michael Dougherty's directing it. Adam Scott, Tony Collette, David Kushner. You have Weta doing the effects. Peter Jackson's homies that did like all the Lord of the Rings stuff. You have an unbelievable cast. And until this week, I thought Sissy Spacek too. You have an unbelievable cast. You have a budget. You have a real studio. I think they could have done better. And I think Maeve hit it on the head for one of the problems I have with this. And it's one of the things you just said you liked, Kat. Some of those scenes that could be kind of creepy, the chaos actually makes them more distracting. So yeah. I think they could have done a lot more out in the blizzard. And instead, it was just like overkill on the snow. Some of the monster scenes, it was just like, okay, can you slow the camera down for a minute and let me be scared by something instead of feeling like, you know, I have vertigo. And I'm saying all this, and I still like the movie and watch it every year.
Maeve, did you think it was a little too tame with the PG-13 for you?
I realized it was PG-13 when going into it, and I didn't really know what I was expecting, but they probably could, like, it probably would have been better if they, like, amped up, like, the gore and stuff a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I just felt that I was also kind of, like, after the big chaotic scenes, I was, like, no one's, like, really hurt. Like, it's just kind of, like, you just fought a toy. Like, how are you not just a little bit hurt? So I think, like, the PG-13 rating did make it a little bit, like, not as, like, fun and, like, as horror as, like, I would, like to watch it.
I guess I was just, you know, I was going into it, and that's what I was thinking the first time. I wasn't really thinking much of it. I was just watching it because I was trying to just see as many Christmas horror movies as I could. And I thought, like, Krampus, was this some kind of, like, Home Alone deal? This kind of, that's kind of more what I expected. And then I guess you could make those parallels again. But as soon as the Krampus, Krampus shows up pretty quickly. The storm rolls in, so you have this family, they're getting ready for Christmas, and of course, they have the giant trailer of in-laws who show up, again, very National Lampoon stuff. These are, yeah. The main characters who are hosting Christmas are more affluent. You get the feeling that they're probably suburban of a major metropolitan area of some kind. They've got money, and they have certain things, ways that they want to do Christmas. And then, this is the classic, this is a cliche to me, Maeve, the bum country, sort of less refined in-laws and family members show up. So, oh boy, here we go. If this movie had been made only like a year later, there would have been some MAGA gear going on. Like there's like a conflict. It's, you know, that's a very core principle conflict between the two sets of families. There's the suburbanite upper crust people. And there's the MAGAs, really. And they roll in. And I loved how almost immediately, as soon as they're starting to sort of fight, and they're like, oh, my goodness, they brought the aunt and all this stuff. They brought the dog. They got four kids. They got a baby. They got all kinds of stuff going on. Everybody's irritated. And as soon as that happens, I liked the idea that, like, the storm rolls in, the literal storm. So when the family is storming, then all of a sudden this crazy storm rolls in, knocks out all the power, and from there, like, the Krampus shows up so fast, and I loved the look of the Krampus. I was like, oh, man, this is like this is scary. Like, this is really cool. Yeah. And from there, I don't know. I thought that a lot of the practical effects were awesome. I thought there's a clown in this that's scarier than Pennywise because it's like, you know, it's not just like a computer on Bill Sarsgaard or something. I loved the comedy in this. I loved the two twins of the sort of bumpkin family. That there's two little girls. They're twins, and the gag is that their dad just like treats them like he wants them to be playing football or whatever. And so there's like that tension going on.
Well, aren't their names like Steve and like he named them boys' names?
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
And dresses them like boys. Mm-hmm.
I very much related to that because my dad didn't get any boys, and I was the last one. And my ultrasound tricked everyone into thinking I was a boy. And then I popped out.
Oh,
no boy
really?
Stuff. So. Wow. Oh, yeah. So I've had that hanging over my head. Yeah, I was a tomboy my whole life because
I knew that.
What?
I knew that. We've talked about it.
What was that? Oh, cool.
We've talked about it on the show.
Oh, great. But yeah, I thought this was just like a really good example of how you don't have to hang out with your family if you don't like them. Hmm. So we should stop doing that.
This family would have welcomed a pandemic.
Maeve, have you ever had a situation like that where you've got a set of family members that show up for a holiday and they're like kind of ruining it for you?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not going to put that on like public access. Yeah. Can hear it.
If we have a lot less to lose than you. So we talk about that. Yeah. I understand you might not want to be as free about it, but those people can't hurt us anymore. It doesn't matter what they think of us. So we get a little loose with it.
Yeah, I've blocked them on Facebook by now, so they can't touch me. It's fine.
But I would ask more specifically, Maeve, have you ever had a cousin that at Christmas dinner drank from a 2-liter of Mountain Dew right on the table? You ever see that before?
They haven't drank from the 2-liter, but like they drank the 2-liter themselves. Like they were pouring it into a cup, but like
so it's a little classier. A little bit
classy enough to use like the solo cup.
Good for them.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it can be kind of a culture clash sometimes at these holiday gatherings, is my point. Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, when I was younger, and I have a huge family. My mother is one of 11. So you can imagine how some of our holiday get-togethers were. And I had, you know, my grandmother had these cupboards just full of cups because there was always so many people at her house. And one of them was mine. One. Didn't have my name on it or anything, but it was my goddamn cup.
Uh-huh.
And I just remembered that every single holiday I would show up, and somebody would have my cup. There could be two people at this goddamn house, and the second person still would have taken my cup. And I literally spent my entire youth being so pissed that someone else was drinking out of my cup.
It's ridiculous. Why would they do that? It's crazy.
Merry Christmas. Probably
finishing off a 2-liter of Mountain Dew.
The audacity.
No, I mean, this movie was successful. This movie made $62 million at the box office. So
nice.
It made its money back. It was good. I just, again, you know, you even have little things like the gingerbread men. That's Seth Green doing the voices of the gingerbread
men. No,
like,
it is
not. How many cool people can be involved in this movie, and it's not like an absolute instant classic. You never ask anyone about what's your classic Christmas movie, and no one ever says Krampus.
Yes,
they don't
do. Have you ever asked me? Yeah, I say it to my family, and everyone's like, Kat, why are you here?
Which is why I'm shocked. I honestly expected to be in a very different kind of fight right now.
So you're just trying to fight whatever you can. You like came
I
out
came
guns
into this
blazing.
With a certain mindset. I need it to fit the narrative.
It's just like Christmas,
like,
isn't it?
I loved it.
I'm curious. One of the things I liked was the constant references to the Charlie Brown Christmas special. I'm an older dog, so I grew up with the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Maeve, did that ring any bells for you, or did you? No, that's not even a thing, is it?
No.
Not at all. Okay. So that's like an inaccuracy in the movie. It's not even accurate. Someone of that age in 2015, they don't know what that is. Is that right?
Well, HBO just took it, so no one's going to see it for free anymore.
Do you have an equivalent, mate? Like, what would your equivalent be of, like, the classic, like, Christmas cartoon thing, not a horror thing, but something like for me and for... The child of the movie is Charlie Brown. Is there something like that for you, or you just watch like horror movies all the time?
Probably like How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Like if they were making references to that, like I'd probably pick up on those.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
But we're talking like old school cartoon, not Jim Carrey.
Yeah, the cartoon.
Okay. All right, good. I was pretty much just gonna turn around and jump out my window if you said Jim Carrey.
I think the Grinch has outlasted Charlie Brown, and because the Grinch
has
got to be, you know, the Grinch is very old too.
Well, they're doing like a brand new one, aren't they? Like some kind of live performance with like the dude from Glee, like the teacher from Glee is playing the Grinch.
Mm-hmm. Seems like they're always doing that.
Are you excited for that, Maeve?
Yeah, I love Glee. I'm also a Gleek, so.
Oh yeah,
you're excuse me, you're
a Gleek.
My wife and daughter just finished watching all of Glee together. So you can imagine how many musical moments were happening in my home.
Yeah.
Well, my last thing that I really appreciated on this one, I mean, I appreciate all of it, but the opening scene is the classic brawl at the mall where everybody gets there's a massive fight, battle royal at the mall. And I mean, it doesn't get more Christmas than that. And this to me, like, this is the more classic tale that's not too far from like A Christmas Carol or It's a Wonderful Life or like all the cliche Christmas stuff. That's what this movie does. But I forgive it, and I really like, I believe that anyway. So, you know,
it's funny when you watch the cliche classic like depiction of middle class American families at the mall during Christmas time, and there's always like the cringy sitting on Santa's lap scene, which this movie doesn't really have. But I will say this, Trent, your pick for next week has the single most cringy Santa's lap scene of any movie of all time, and I dare anyone to find a better one.
Boom. Can't wait.
Boom.
Boom, boom, boom. Well, I had an unrelated Christmas question for Maeve. I was just wondering what your favorite horror movie of all time was.
Oh, this is hard. I actually wrote down one of my favorite ones so I would be able to, like, say it. But
yeah,
mine is probably Halloween. Like, the original. Wow. Like, yes. I love Michael Myers. He's my favorite. I have, like, a action figure. I just got an ornament as an early Christmas present for him. He's on my shirt, so he's just my favorite.
He's still my heart, Maeve. Oh, my goodness. I love it.
I don't know if you know, Maeve, that's Kat's favorite, too.
Yeah.
That was my introduction to horror situation, so
mine
I feel
too.
Like we're
the Holy Grail.
Kindred spirits, yes. Well, yeah. What? Tell me about your first time watching it.
It was, so like, when I was 13, my dad was introducing me to paranormal horror, and then my mom's boyfriend was introducing me to like slasher horror. So that was like my first real experience. And I was like, I was like nervous because I had never watched like a real horror movie before. And I loved it. I make jokes to like overcome the fear of it. Like I'm the one who screams at the TV and is like, don't go in there. And I loved it. I was enjoying every minute of it, and I watch it like 5 times a year now. So,
Maeve, I love you so much. I'm so happy.
Kat's gonna leave our show, and she's gonna go on your show instead. I think.
I guess. Yeah. Exactly. I feel like that's the place for me at this point, right, guys?
We had a good run. I think. Yeah. You know, there's been a parting of interests. That's all. Mm. Not personal. Yeah.
We didn't even talk about the Max, the kid that started all this nonsense.
Mm.
And I thought that Max was great. I thought I did think, and Maeve, maybe you can back me up, I did think he was a very cliche character.
Yeah, definitely. He was like that little boy who's just like, nobody really likes him and his family, and he's just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
But he's such a good, like, Grammy's boy. He's such a good Ami's boy.
Yeah.
He was played by an actor named MJ Anthony. And when I was reading up on the movie, everybody on set said that this little boy who acts so sweet and so innocent in the movie was an absolute ladies' man on set. So he sounds like he could be like a real-life Luke.
Oh,
like,
no.
Didn't matter how old you were, they said that this kid was macking on everybody. And then the cameras would roll, and he'd be like, oh, Ami, let me speak some German to you. I do have a couple, like, just fun, stupid things that I found out about this movie.
Let's hear it.
One of them being that all the snow on the ground, and think about how much snow was in some of these scenes, it was all the stuffing from diapers.
Wow.
Fresh diapers?
So when I read it, I pictured like 100 people ripping apart diapers. And then I had a moment of, you know, intelligence and said, no, they probably went to the diaper stuffing place and said, hey, can we get a bunch of that before you put it in the diapers?
Okay.
But when I first read it, it's like, man, that's dedication. What a pain in the ass.
What that must PA have been tearing had all those to diapers tear up. Open those diapers? Yeah.
I love the music in this movie. It borders on some of the films that we criticize, like Jaws, with some of the fantastical type music, but I love the soundtrack to this movie. It was done by Douglas Pipes, who also did Daugherty's movie Trick or Treat, but he did one of my favorite animated kind of scary movies of all time, Monster House, which is a fantastic animated horror movie, and definitely well, I don't want to say appropriate, but definitely kid watchable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm familiar with Monster House. It's an animated.
Monster House? You'd love
it. Never heard of it. It's animated.
Robert Zemeckis, I think, was the helm behind that one.
And who's he?
He did like Back to the Future and.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, kind of a big deal.
Never heard of him.
Maeve, do you want to give like one last plug for, you know, why you're here and what you're up to out in the horror world?
Okay. I really enjoy, this is like the funnest thing I've ever done. I've been waiting for this for like weeks. I've been counting down the days on my calendar. So, check out The Cliché Killer, www.thecliché-killer.com. I'm actually writing a screenplay right now for my first horror movie, so,
wow.
I actually have a business, so I'm just gonna plug that, because I'm raising money through my business to, like, fund my movie. I make, like, Disney ears, like, the ones people wear, like, the Mickey Mouse ears that people wear in Disney.
Heck yeah.
I make, like, floral wire ones, corkboard ones, and then ones out of pool noodles. So, if you're ever interested in any Disney ears, you can go to Instagram at inspiredbymaeve, or you can contact me directly at inspiredbymaeve@gmail.com, so, to order, so.
Can you, without giving away too much, so that, you know, some of our millions of listeners don't steal your idea, what's your screenplay, a little bit about your screenplay?
It's like the cliche, I'm like trying to make it cliche, but then go against all the cliches. So it's a cliche group of teens are going on vacation, like a log cabin in the woods. And actually the main character's grandma was at this cabin when they were teenagers. So a bunch of secrets are revealed, a bunch of chaos occurs, and like it's the cliche kids getting picked off one by one by the killer. So.
Wow, love it. Love it. Nice. That sounds great. How long have you been working on that?
I only started writing about three months ago, and I'm about like a little bit, almost halfway through the script. So,
wow,
nice.
I started writing one 2 years ago, and I'm not even close to halfway through the script. So.
this is what I do when I'm bored in class. I'm just writing. Come
on. Now, don't neglect your studies. Now,
studies are important.
Maeve. Maeve found us through, Raina Rose?
Yeah, Raina Rose Exelbeard.
Maeve, thank you so much for braving this. You did such a great job and really good job, like, working in the cliche angle. That was awesome. Super, super fun to have you on the show and super fun to get to know you a little bit.
Thank you very much, Maeve.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you were
so much.
And
this
keep
was
in
so
touch
fun.
With us. You can always message us on our various platforms or Instagrams and whatever you want to do. Absolutely. Be nice to hear from you. I'd love to hear how your screenplay goes and how your podcast goes, too. Hopefully you don't take too many of our listeners after this.
Maybe we can be guests at one point.
Raina wanted me to tell you that. I almost forgot. She was like, it would be awesome if that, like, they were your first guest, because this is my first podcast I've ever been on. So,
oh, nice.
It'd be,
yeah, absolutely.
Okay. 100%.
I would totally do it. Yeah. Okay. Keep us posted.
Okay, I will.